Beware. There's a way to start. There's a way to start a paragraph. When you say beware, it's a real sign that you need to sit up, because paying attention matters. People, beware. I remember when we were younger, we had quite a large dog. She was called Ali. Can you just pop her up there for me? There we go, Ali, bless her. She was soft as anything. If she knew you. If she didn't, then she made her mistrust known to you, loudly. So in order to make visitors to our home aware, we had a sign in our gate that said, I'm sure you've seen many signs like this before, beware of the dog. Sometimes those signs are there just to ward off intruders. It's okay, you can clear that now. But this sign was there to warn people about the dog. To make people aware, to say, beware. Some people who would come to our house, like Paul Whittingham, would certainly take that warning to heart. I remember on occasions when the dog was in the garden and Paul had come to see my dad. And this is back in the days where mobile phones were the size of a brick and you had valuable minutes. I mean, you using it cost you money. Paul would always call to say, can you get the dog in? Because he would not enter the garden until that dog was somewhere safe. So when you see the word beware, it's very important. Beware means take heed. It's important that you stick to this. Danger. Well, today we are going to look at a beware spoken with huge authority, because it's a beware spoken by Jesus. You know, if Jesus says beware, it is something you need to pay attention to and be wary of. Unfortunately, I think we don't often take heed of this and pay as much attention to this as we should. So I think it's very important we look at it and we take it on board. So let's get into the beware. And by the way, in the ESV, Jesus says beware. In the King James, if you're reading the King James, Jesus says take heed. It's the same thing, it means the same, although you see take heed less on signs on somebody's gate. Take heed of the dog. I'm going to read from Matthew 6, verses 1 to 5. Matthew 6, verses 1 to 5, it will be on the screen there. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they might be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. See, there's a reason we played that song, The Secret Place. There's a reason Jesus calls it the secret place. It's supposed to be the secret place. In a world of social media, where it seems sometimes that unless something's shared with everybody, it's like it didn't happen. In a world where many testimonies are no longer God did this, but has become I did this, we need to take heed of Jesus' warning. As churches, And as individuals, we need to be very careful of the way we broadcast our good works and glory in them. In fact, no, let me rephrase that. We need to ensure we don't broadcast our good works and take glory in them. We need to remember what the real audience number is. How many people's thank yous really matter. This message today is called One in the Audience. And not because of social distancing. And it's not called that because I had no idea how many people were going to turn up today. But because we must remember, everything we do is for the audience of one. One. Colossians 3, verses 23 to 24, it says this. Whatever you do, can you put that up as that's on? Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord, and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. See, what Paul's doing is he's echoing what Jesus had said there. But Jesus actually took it even further than Paul was going there. See, Paul's reminding you about who you're serving. Jesus is saying, beware of the times you forget that. Because whilst our faith should be public, we need to be careful that we aren't living for our good deeds to be made public. When you do something good, do you burn with that desire deep within you? To make sure, somebody's got to hear about this. Somebody needs to know what I've done. It was good. Are you looking for a well done? Well, Jesus said, if you are, beware that mindset. Today, every good deed is plastered all over social media. Now, I'm going to pick on social media and particularly Facebook a lot today. Why? Ah, oh, it's an easy target. But also, it's a good place to start. But don't think, just because you're not doing stuff online, this doesn't apply in every area of life. It's just, I'm going to pick the easy target. Look at me. Look who I've helped. Look what I've donated to. Hey, everybody. I'm raising money for this cause, please notice. Look at how good I am. Look, I was involved in this social activity. Look at this. I care deeply about this issue, so I'm going to click share on this. Here's an increasingly common one I've noticed recently. It starts with the words, who can share this? Or who can say amen to this? Look at me, I didn't buy hundreds of toilet rolls. Bet you can't share that. It becomes this exercise in pride. Self-promotion. Now, understand, I'm not saying you shouldn't use social media to help raise money for a worthy cause. That's a good thing. But we must constantly be bringing it back to what is my motivation? Why am I doing this? Why am I sharing this? And don't fool yourself. Be honest with yourself. Why am I sharing this? Why am I letting people know this? Is it to raise the profile of the thing I've done? That's good. The cause. Or is it to raise the profile of me? And we've got to be honest with ourselves when we check ourselves on those things. Because you gain nothing by fooling yourself. Nothing. Here's the thing. I can look at things that have been posted. I can't judge somebody else's motivation. I can't. I can't judge, Greg, your motivation. You're just right in my eye line. I can't judge my mum's motivation. I know she's at the other side of that camera there. I can't. But you can. You can judge your own motivation. You can take heed. You can beware. You can check yourself. Our giving our witnessing, our prayer lives were never, never meant to be about the public display. And you can justify all kinds of reasons for doing it, like, well, I just wanted to encourage people. Or, oh, I thought they'd find it interesting. But when you sit and you post something, and you sit and you wait for just that first like, come on, somebody like it. Somebody put a positive comment on there. Somebody tell me how good I'm doing. Who are you putting on the pedestal? Jesus or you? And you can think there's no harm in sharing it with a few people. I mean, I've got to tell the pastor how good I'm doing. But Jesus makes it so simple. He says, no, don't even tell your left hand what your right hand is doing. Now, Jesus isn't being literal there, because if your left hand doesn't actually know what your right hand is doing, you can't pick anything up. You know, that's the coordination works like that. Jesus isn't being literal, but Jesus is saying, that's how basic it is. That's how simple it is. Don't tell. Don't broadcast. It's so important that we make exceptions for ourselves all the time, don't we? Well, what about this? What about this? But Jesus is like, look, let's take it so basic, not even your left hand to your right hand. He's making a point, you see. Your good works were never meant to be a public display. And the second you make them a public display, you defeat the entire point of doing it. To the Jewish mindset at the time of Jesus, there was three great works in life that a person who wanted to live a good religious life would base themselves around. Three that a good life was based on. Number one was giving alms, or charity. Number two was prayer. And number three was fasting. All good things to do. These are good things to encourage people to do. Incidentally, as I was reading the verse at the start, I stopped before fasting just because I didn't want to go on too long. But Jesus talks about fasting in there as well. And Jesus doesn't for one moment say any of these things are wrong. In fact, he affirms all of these things are good. What he warns us against is our motive in doing them. What's very interesting is those three things, charity, prayer, and fasting, lend themselves incredibly well to being done with the wrong motive. But Jesus is saying, if we do these things wrong, if we do these things to look good, if we do these things to bring glory to ourselves, they will lose the most important part of their value. Good things with the wrong motive become bad things. I'm sharing this message today because I believe it's very important in today's culture that we get to grips with this. Because we document everything, don't we? We record everything we do in life. We take photographs. We post updates. You know, in the time of Jesus, if you went to give alms and you wanted to do it in front of people, how many people are really going to see what you did? It's just the people who were in the room at the same time. You know, he's talking about sounding trumpets. You can make a whole big thing about it while you go on the way. But really, it's limited to the people who were there when you did it. But nowadays, oh no, these things can live on and on. You can get positive affirmation from an act of charity years after you did it. Not only that, thousands of people now can see what you did. Not only can they see it, they can click a button and give you a thumbs up for doing it. Or, with a new one now, they can give you a care for doing it. They can affirm, they can comment, they can tell you how well you're doing. Now, I'm not saying it's not good to have people do that. Of course it is. When somebody likes something you've put on, of course, and you're not responsible for what somebody else does, the danger isn't in that, it's in the motivation. Because today, the affirmation can be so much stronger. You can get positive affirmation on something months after you did it because the affirmation is so much stronger, then so much stronger is the temptation. So much stronger is the danger. Even as a church, you see, this has been on my mind a lot recently because as a church, we've put ourselves now online every week. There's a danger to that, you know. There's a danger that we start thinking every week, how many people have watched? How many people have shared? Alan, how many people are watching right now? Don't tell. Oh, tell me, go on then.
65.
And I can go, oh, there was more last week. Oh no.
66.
Oh, there we go. But you can start going, oh no. Feeling better. No, but there's a danger there. Do you see it? That becomes about that. That's not the reason we're online. We're online, so. Nobody in here heard that. You see, there's a danger to it. There really is a danger to it. And we need to be very careful because we are not online so that we can get positive affirmation from people. We're online because, first of all, we want to be able to reach the people in the church who can't physically attend. And second of all, we want to reach people for Jesus. That's why we're doing it. And you can get caught up with all the wrong parts of that very easily. Now, that's a church example, but I tell you, we can do it in everything, can't we? We must be very careful because really, the only audience that matters is the audience of one. A man can give to charity, not because he's generous, but because he wants to be seen as a giver. A person can pray, but it's not going vertically. It's going horizontally to everybody else in the room so they know how good you are praying. There's a problem if the only prayers you pray are the ones when there's other people around. Oh, they can be going so horizontally. Everybody in the room now knows how spiritual you are. How humble that prayer was. Wow. We need to make sure our prayers go that way, not that way. We can fast, but not for the good of our soul or to humble ourselves before God, but so that people can see how good a Christian we are, how dedicated we are to the cause. See, in the time of Jesus, you'd go around with a long face. Oh, I'm fasting. Did not wash. Looked like you were going through such a hard time, just so everybody knew you were fasting. Jesus said, you don't do that. Wash yourself. Shave. Smile. Then nobody knows. Then it's all the better. You know, it's so much easier today to tell people how much you're fasting. Hashtag fast 2020. You know, daily updates. I've gone 3 days now. Oh, I could do with some chocolate, but I won't. See, you can even do something great like share the gospel with somebody just so other Christians can see how spiritual you are. So you can stand up afterwards and go, hey, guess how many people I witnessed to? All of these things, you see, are good things, but with the wrong motive. And we need to be careful we don't do things for acclaim, we do things for God. Because acclaim is a reward. It is. There's no doubt. Jesus said as much. He said, truly I say to you, they've received their reward. He says that each time, both with giving, prayer, and fasting, he says, they've received their reward. If you're looking for people to notice and people have noticed, well done. Done. Job done. He says that each time, in fact, actually a better way to translate what Jesus said isn't just they've received their reward, it's they have received payment in full. Payment in full. And you see, that's the key to when you're working for the wide audience instead of the audience of one. Charles Spurgeon put it extremely well. If you can put this up, he said this: you cannot expect to be paid twice. Do you have that? It's got a picture of Spurgeon on it. There we go. You cannot expect to be paid twice. If, therefore, you take the reward and the applause of men who give you a high character for generosity, get this, You cannot expect to have any reward from God. You can't. If you're aiming for the well done or the thank you, then the well done or the thank you or acclaim within church or society, if all you're looking is for that, you know, that endorphin rush you get when somebody says, well done. And we all get it. If that's what you're looking for, then fine. Payment in full. You get it. It feels good. Yep. You get it. Trouble is, that's nothing compared to the heavenly reward you just traded it in for. If you ever sold something and realized you could have got much more for it if you'd waited. I always sell my old phones when I get a new one. Does anybody else do that? It's good because it helps you pay for the new one. I once did it. I took it to a high street shop, which I won't name, and traded it for cash over the counter. And you know what? I got an okay amount of money for my phone. I lost a little bit because I wanted cash and not credit, because I want to pay for my new phone with it, not, you know. And I was happy with the money I got. Then Amelia. She gets a new phone. She's advised by the salesperson at the counter, don't go to a high street shop with this, but use this online service. You'll get more money. It was a bit more work and she had to wait a bit longer, but she got nearly £200 more for her old phone than I got for mine. And mine had more memory. I was gutted. But here's the thing. We do it every day without even thinking. How often do we take the first, easiest, and least valuable payment? See, we live in an age where we log everything, every thought, every part of life. I tell you what, some people, you read their feeds, it's like it's directly connected to their brain. Every thought they have. And we forget. You know, sometimes we seem to think if it's not logged on earth, it's like it never happened. And we forget that if it's not in the earthly log, it's in the heavenly log. And every day, people trade eternal reward for the temporal reward. And Jesus said it as bluntly as this. I love how blunt Jesus is. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. That's the deal. It's then or now. That's the deal. And when we take the payment now instead of then, I tell you, it's a bad deal. It's a worse deal than the amount I got for my phone. Listen, I'm not sharing this morning just to be like a Mr. Negative. Because think about it this way. If you flip this round the other way, be positive about the good things this means. This means if you don't get rewarded here, if nobody notices the things you're doing for God, if you feel like man's approval's not forthcoming, then guess what? You have got something wonderful in store. You have some extremely good news awaiting you. Because you have something better than the approval of man. You have the approval of God. How much better is the approval of God than the approval of man? How much more wonderful and glorious is that? How much better is that? That means getting a lack of approval here actually isn't a bad thing at all. Now, it doesn't undercut the fact that if somebody says thank you, you don't immediately lose your heavenly reward. Like, for example, Denise, thank you for helping out last week. It was really appreciated. I haven't just robbed Denise of her reward because Denise didn't do it for that purpose. Understand, it doesn't work like that. It's about our motivation. But how much better it is to have the well done of God than the well done of man. What an opportunity this gives us to do good works specifically in the quiet. To do acts of kindness with no chance of somebody saying thank you. To pray in the quiet, secret place, more than you pray with other people. And you don't tell them about it. Listen, that time you spend in the secret place is not wasted. To fast and have nobody know you fasted. All the while you're investing in the heavenly reward. Storing up treasure in heaven. Making the choice not to tell other people. Knowing you ain't doing it for them. You're doing it for him. See, the acclaim of man can be intoxicating. It can. And you watch people who transform when they start getting it. And therein lies the danger. Because the approval of man can take your eyes off God. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Working without a claim or reward. I tell you what, it's certainly harder now. Certainly more frustrating now. It can be more disheartening now. But remember, thanks and acclaiming themselves, they're not bad things. It's good to say thank you to someone. Don't stop saying thank you to people thinking you're going to rob them of their reward. Because it doesn't work like that. It's good to tell people they're doing well. It's good to encourage people to give to good causes. It's not like doing that robs somebody of the reward. But we need to check our motivation. Constantly. Constantly. Because when you start doing these things for the applause, when you start doing these things for the acclaim, when you start doing it for someone's well done, when you start telling somebody about your good works or your evangelism, waiting for the applause you're going to get afterwards, then you're out of line of where the way Jesus asked you to live. And as much as we may want it, we can't have it both ways. Galatians 1 verse 10 says this, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." There's a verse, eh? And remember that the rewards from your Father in heaven are not the same as the rewards down here. When Jesus spoke of reward, he wasn't just thinking of the material. And it's funny because in the Jewish culture, that what Jesus said there really went against the grain of thought. There was this idea that a good man would prosper. That material award would await a good man. If a man prospered in his field, had a good harvest, or he had many children, that was taken as a sign of proof that he was a good man. But that's massively problematic because, first of all, it doesn't match with what Jesus is saying. Second of all, this is the problem at the root of the book of Job. His friends see his misfortune and go, "Well, that must be a result of your sin, dude. You must have done something wrong. God must be not blessing you." But the trouble is we do exactly the same. When someone isn't prospering in life or going through a hard time, they think, "Well, they must have done something to earn that." The same works the other way. When somebody's prospering, when somebody's having success, well, God must be blessing them. They must be getting something right. But that kind of thinking is not New Testament thinking. Jesus spoke of eternal reward, not temporary reward, not material reward. Jesus did not promise his disciples material prosperity. And incidentally, none of them had it. In fact, what Jesus promised his disciples was trial, tribulation, suffering, persecution, and guess what else? Death. The rewards Jesus speaks of are something that in this life, you can't describe them because we can't even conceive of what they're going to be like because we don't understand really what heaven is like. Treasure in heaven. Church, don't rob yourselves. Watch your motives. Why do you give? Why do you share things? Why do you update things? Why do you pray? Why do you fast? Temporary gain may come quickly, but it ain't going to last a whole lot of time. Heavenly gain means you've got to wait. But it lasts forever. Don't sell yourself up short. Don't put yourself as your focus. Because when you put yourself as your focus in life, guess what? That's idolatry. We do everything for Him. Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before others. Everything we do as to the Lord. In other words, there's only one in the audience that matters. We don't do anything to please people, but to please God. Incidentally, making decisions just to shut people up so they'll stop hassling you is pleasing people. There's only one well done that really counts. But what an audience. What an honor. What a well done that will be. So the next time you do good, and I encourage you to do good, just remember that. Next time you update a status or hit share, just keep that in mind. I'd like to end this with the lyrics of a song. This song is called This Journey Is My Own. It's a beautiful song, and I encourage you to seek it out. I'm just going to read these lyrics out. And as I'm reading these out, just focus on these words. Because I think it's so important that we let this be our prayer as we close out this section. The words go like this. When I stand before the Lord, I'll be standing alone. This journey is my own. Still, I want man's advice and I need man's approval. But this journey is my own. Why would I want to live for man and pay the highest price? What does it mean to gain a whole world only to lose my life? So much of what I do is to make a good impression. But this journey is my own. So much of what I say is to make myself look better. But this journey is my own. And why would I want to live for man and pay the highest price? And what does it mean to gain a whole world only to lose my life? And I have never felt relief like I feel it right now. This journey is my own. Because trying to please the world, it was breaking me down. It was breaking me down. And now I live and I breathe for an audience of one. Now I live and I breathe for an audience of one. Now I live and I breathe for an audience of one. Because I know this journey is my own. And why would I want to live for man and pay the highest price? What does it mean to gain a whole world only to lose my life? And you can live for someone else. It'll only bring you pain. I can't even judge myself because only the Lord can say, well done. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that, Lord, you'll help us take heed of your warning. That, Lord, we'll constantly remind ourselves to check our motivation when we do good. That we'll constantly remind ourselves to check our motivation when we pray. And that, Lord, you'll constantly remind us to check our motivation when we fast. Because, Lord, we don't want to live for man. We want to live and breathe for the audience of one. Because, Lord, only you can say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen.